A new education survey conducted in a number of schools in central and southern Somalia has found that children lack basic essential services. The assessment conducted by the Somalia Education Cluster, which includes the UN children's charity UNICEF, highlighted in particular that hundreds of thousands of students received no food assistance. The findings also revealed that in the schools surveyed, many lacked basic hygiene facilities. Lydia O'Kane spoke to education specialist at UNICEF Somalia, Rachel Beck, who explained more.
Well, there are a lot of findings, and I'm sorry to say that most of them aren't good. One of the key findings is that only 13% of students in schools have access to school feeding programs. So that's obviously a big concern because it represents an opportunity that's been lost thus far. To reach children through schools, which are one of the only institutions in South Central Somalia where we can reliably access children. Now, the survey only covered a little over 600 schools, so we want to be very clear that this is a snapshot of conditions in South Central Somalia. It's not comprehensive. We are planning to do surveys later on. But insofar as it reveals the lack of access to food in schools, that is a real concern. There's also very little access to soap, to hygiene promotion education, to a lot of other sort of support mechanisms to help fight cholera, the spread of disease at a time that's very sensitive. So that's a real worry. On the plus side, education partners, UNICEF among them, but many, many others, are reaching an increasing number of children in South Central Somalia through schools. So that's the good news, but there is a lot of bad news against it.
I wanted to ask you, Rachel, what is the age group we're looking at here? Are we looking at right the way through from primary education to secondary education, or are we looking at just a particular age group of students?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we are looking at both primary and secondary, and the survey focused more on primary schools just because there's more of them. But we also looked at secondary schools and non-formal education, which is anything outside the formal education system. So anybody under 18 is included in the survey. Now, of course, a lot of children in South Central Somalia are not in the correct grade level for their age. So you'll often find older kids in the early primary years just because they haven't had the educational structures that they should have had. But we did look all the way up through age 17. That's right.
Now, obviously, there's an ongoing humanitarian crisis in parts of Somalia. And just looking back to the survey itself, it says that 93 schools and learning spaces are occupied by internally displaced persons. And, of course, they're therefore unavailable for classes. Is that right?
That is right. And that is an estimate from our partners. Because it wasn't a comprehensive survey, we weren't able to go out to every school and say, is this open or is this closed because it's being occupied or another reason. But these are reports that we received from our partners who are active on the ground. And for that reason, we would also stress that it could be more than that. This is just what's been reported to us through this exercise. So that's at least over 90 schools are closed for that reason.
You were talking about, of course, the things that children basically need, food, water, all these things. But what about learning materials, things like textbooks,
yes,
all these kind of things? Also safe buildings that children can stay in.
Absolutely. That's completely correct. Those are all priorities for UNICEF and all of our partners. It was not the focus of this assessment because we are moving a lot of supplies into South Central Somalia. So many supplies are on the way, and the survey did not assess exactly what number of schools currently have access to school supplies. But that's probably the bulk of our expenses, actually, is to make sure that just the very basics are there, slates, pencils, pens, the vitals that students need in order to learn and teachers need in order to teach. We are also focusing on the rehabilitation of school buildings, as you said, and where necessary, the construction of new ones. This is an environment where very little is available. So we're working hard to make sure that those things are in place.
You were talking about, of course, your work there, but are you working with any other collaborators or actors to try and bring about change, positive change?
Oh, absolutely. And this survey was actually conducted by the Education Cluster, which is a collection of both local and international agencies working to improve education conditions in emergency areas of Somalia. So this is 100% about different agencies coming together. We have a lot of different local partners, a lot of international agencies lending support, and it's very much a collaborative effort.
I was just going to ask you, Rachel, just if there were one or two things that you were to say that need to be done first, the things that you feel that really are vital, what would they be?
Sure. There are so many, it's difficult to select. Certainly, we need to look at boosting support to schools to provide some form of food assistance. And that can take a number of different forms. It can be food vouchers. It can be meals in the school if that's appropriate and the facilities are there. It can be dry rations to take home so that families also benefit. That's hugely important. And what we're working to do now is to target schools that are not being reached by other feeding programs, or the communities are not being reached by other feeding programs. So food support is a big priority and a huge issue for us. As you said, school supplies and the reconstruction of learning spaces, very important. And these are all incentives also for families to send their children to school at a time that's extremely challenging, when resources are even less than they were before, in an already very difficult environment. But when schools clearly have something to offer and when they're an entry point for basic services in the midst of a crisis, that helps children go to school and that helps families prioritize education. So on many different levels, it's important to get kids into school, both because it's their right to have an education, but also because it opens the door to a lot of other opportunities.
You just actually answered practically a question I was going to ask you just regarding the importance of education. It's stressed so many times all over the world that children's right to education, to give them a better future.
Yeah, that's right. And again, we do believe completely in the right of children to have access to an education for its own sake. We believe that education is something that every child should have access to. But we can't lose sight of the practical aspects of that as well. Not only does an education open the door to opportunities later on, higher education, better jobs, and so forth, but in the short term, it provides a protective environment where children are safe, particularly important in an emergency. It's an entry point for services. You can have health interventions, nutrition interventions, safe water and sanitation. All of these are saving lives on a daily basis, even messages about washing hands, things that we might take for granted. These really do have the power to transform lives in the short term as well as the long term.